This morning, we'd like to see the title over Kings, Naaman, Gehazi. In the 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 27, before starting the Word of God, we represent three questions. Number one, what was the mind of Israel's king and the mind of the king of Syria? Question 2. What was the mind of Naaman? The last question, what was Gehazi's mind? First of all, we want to see the backgrounds. The 9th king, Jehoram, the 7th king, Ahab's son, from 852 through 841 before Christ. In the 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 17 says, so Ahazi died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place. So in this background, Jehoram reigned the northern kingdom Israel as Ahab's second son. First one, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, who was a Syrian king, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. So Naaman was charged to handle the army of Syria. So Syrian king loved Naaman because Naaman got a lot of victory in war against a foreign country. But he was a leper. So we can assume his leprosy was a mild form or an early stage because he held his position of the commander of the army of Syria. Leviticus chapter 13, if you chance you may read them. If somebody suffered a serious leprosy, he would be excluded from community. So they resided in separated camp. So therefore, Naaman's leprosy was mild or in early stage. First two, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. Syrians gave a tribute to Israel while David the king and Solomon the king reigned. But after the death of Solomon the king, Israel was divided, northern kingdom called as Israel, southern kingdom called as Judah. So northern kingdom Israel was weak. Therefore, Syrian countries invaded into Israel and they carried away spoils and Israelites as captives. They turned back to Syria. So one of the captives, a young girl, was serving Naaman's wife. She waited on Naaman's wife. So she, young girl who was Israelite, was serving Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "Young girl," said to Naaman's wife, "if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So young girl has a good mind to help her boss, husband Naaman, would be healed if he saw the prophet in Samaria ordained by God. So young girl had a faith to heal Naaman of his leprosy when he saw the prophet in Samaria, who was Elisha. And Naaman went in and told his master, who was a Syrian king, saying, "This and this said the girl who is from the land of Israel." So basically, young girl Israelite delivered her face, the healing face, to her boss, Naaman's wife. Naaman's wife delivered her statement to Naaman. Naaman delivered her statement to Syrian king. Then the king of Syria said, "Go now." So all we can see the chain of faith without any dispute, without any question. So first of all, Naaman's wife never asked a question or a doubt about the young girl's expression of her face to heal Naaman. The second, Naaman himself, he never expressed any doubt or question. Also, Syrian king never gave any doubts or a question either. So we can see the chain of faith. Then king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to king of Israel." So the seventh king, Ahab's son, was the ninth king, Jehoram. So the king of Syria said, "Go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel, Jehoram." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. So 1 talent is 25 pounds, so a lot of silvers, and 6,000 shekels of gold, 1 shekel, 2/5 ounce, so a lot of gold too. 6,000 shekels of gold, those were the unit of money. And 10 changes of clothing, then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, so those money, gold and silver, and 10 changes of clothing, those are exchanged for Naaman's healing. So that kind of bargain for exchange. So you healed my servant Naaman, then will give those monies and clothing. Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, Israelite king, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." The letter said so. And it happens when the king of Israel, Jehoram, read the letter, and he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive?" So Israel's king raised a question, rhetorical question, "Am I God to kill, make alive?" It seems I am not God, that kind of stupid question. So expression his unbelief. Although his forefathers were selected as a nation of God's people. So Israel was called as a God's people, but the king of Israel expressed his unbelief. So that's why, regardless over the Christian experience or education or race or anything else, so the faith is important in the present tense always. So we can see the Bible said, the 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. That's the present tense. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So right now the king of Israel has no faith. The God is not in his heart at all. That this man sent a man to me to heal him of his leprosy. Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So the Israel king raised the issue. Sidon king might make a battle against Israel. So that kind of understanding we might understand, because Syrian invaded into Israel, carried the captives to turn back to Syria. So previous occurrence led him to misunderstand this letter with trick to make a quarrel with Israel. But the king of Israel had no faith in God. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, shows his total unbelief, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? So, which means, why didn't you believe in God to heal leprosy, healing leprosy? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So let him know a prophet ordained by God in Israel. So Elisha's mind, Elisha's intent, let Naaman to know, let Naaman know the true God in Israel through the prophet to heal the leprosy. So basically, Elisha's intent to spread God, true God. So that's the purpose right here. Verse 9, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. So Elisha by himself didn't welcome Naaman at all, rather than sending his messenger to deliver his word to Naaman. So Naaman was the biggest the commander of the army of a Syrian king. So that's why Naaman became furious or angry. Why? Because I am so big, why he, Elisha, didn't show up to welcome me? So some sort of a pride, or he expected heroic treatment. So Naaman became furious, angry, went away and said, "Indeed, truly, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me," right here, right? So he, Elisha, will sure welcome me out to me, but without seeing me, so he sent me his messenger, you know, to deliver just right, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. So he should show up then, so he might wave his hand in the name of the Lord, might heal me, but he didn't show up. Are not the Abana and Pharpar delivers Damascus? So Damascus is bigger, more beautiful, better than all the water of Israel. Right here, the Jordan River, very small, what dirty, tiny, you know, water kind. So could I not wash in them, very Jordan River, be clean? So some kind of could I not wash in them, meaning I could better wash in the rivers of Damascus rather than Jordan River. So he turned and went away in a rage, in anger. So this kind of Naaman's face was fainted for a while. But verse 13, and his servants, not only one, but also more servants, plural, came near and spoke to him and said, "My father," some kind of, you know, the very honor like that, "my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he said to you, wash it and be clean?" So the servant persuaded Naaman to obey Elisha's commandments. So he went down and dipped. So Naaman finally expressed he obeyed to Elisha's word. So obedience is better than anything else. So always God's way is the best. God wants our obedience more than anything else. God can use anything to accomplish his purpose. Even Jordan River, small river, he can use Jordan River to accomplish, to get his purpose. Then seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, or according to the statement of Elisha, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And Naaman returned to the man of God, or Elisha, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." So that's why Elisha healed him. So because Elisha's intent, motive, he shall know, Naaman shall know, that there is a prophet in Israel. A prophet meaning a person who delivered God's word. So that means that prophet ordained by God. So let him know the true God in Israel. So that intention was accomplished right here. That's why Naaman said, "Indeed, truly, I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Except in Israel, only in Israel. Only true God is there. "Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." Therefore, please take a gift. So initial intention brought by Syrian king, that kind of a bargaining, exchange. But take a gift from your servant. Naaman said, "Your servant." some kind of a remark of appreciation, kind of a gift. But the sort of behind the appreciation, certain exchange, the bargaining kind of mind was tainted with pure appreciation gift. Because a lot, you know, because they are like they're, you know, so one talent is 25 pounds, 25 times 10, 250 pounds of silver. A lot, you know, 2/5 ounce times 6,000 gold, a lot. So, but Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. But Elisha did not receive anything. Why? Because God used Elisha as just an instrument to reveal God's power to Naaman. So let him let Naaman know the true God. So Matthew chapter 10 verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, right here. Freely you have received, freely give. So freely Elisha received that power from God. So therefore, he should freely give. That's why. So then Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant, continue your servant, his humble heart, obedient heart, be given 2 mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Some kind of a pledge right here. The author is a symbol of a pledge. Naaman will dedicate only to God. So no longer offer any other gods except the Lord. Yet in these things may the Lord pardon. Then Naaman asked the forgiveness. He confessed his sin. Lord, pardon or forgive your servant. So let the Lord forgive your servant. When my master Syrian king goes into the temple of Rimmon. Rimmon is a god of rain and thunder in Damascus. So idol, Rimmon idol god, whether idol god in Damascus to worship there, and he leans on my hand. So Syrian king leans on Naaman's hand, and I bow. Naaman bowed down in the temple of Rimmon, and I bow down. Naaman bowed down in the temple of Rimmon. May the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. So he committed idol worship. So he repented his worship, asking his forgiveness to God through the prophet Elisha. So Elisha said to Naaman, go in peace. Peace meaning, so Naaman's sin was forgiven. So now go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. So God forgave now, and he departed from Elisha. Now problem, Gehazi's greed, you know, come out. Right here, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master Elisha has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So right here, Elijah, the heart of greed come out, or the love of money. The First Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So many people, you know, love money. So the Bible said that is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. So like Gehazi, so greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So exactly this kind of happened to Gehazi. So many souls, Gehazi will get leprosy. Not only Gehazi, so Gehazi descendants as well. So many souls too. We can understand the Gehazi situation because just the previous chapter 4:38, right? Elisha returned to Gilgal. There was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, "Put on the larger part and boiled stew for the sons of the prophet." Because Gilgal, Elisha operated the school of prophets at Gilgal. So there are, you know, 100 students, 100 prophets candidate. So Gehazi assisted Elisha. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild goose and came and sliced them into the pot of a stew. So they made up stew, you know, although they did not know what they were. So they brought a lot of herbs, you know, into a pot because there was a famine, no enough food. So then they served the two men to it. Now it happened as they were eating the stew, soup or stew, that they cried out and said, "Man of God, Elisha, there is death in the pot." So poisonous soup. And they could not eat it. So he said, Elisha said, "Then bring some flour." And so and he put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. So some kind of miraculous work to take away, you know, poison by putting some flour. Then Elisha also right here, then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruit, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. So basically 20 loaves of barley bread and one sack, you know, to grain. And he said, "Give it to the people that they may eat." So only 20 barley bread and one sack grain, so to feed, you know, 100 people, that's not enough. But his servant said, "What shall I set this before 100 men?" Elisha said again, "Give it to the people that they may eat." And thus says the Lord, "They shall eat, have some leftover." So he set it before them, and they ate and had some leftover, according to the word of the Lord. So famine, not enough food, you know, under those circumstances, Gehazi assisted Elisha to operate the school of prophets. So under the famine circumstance, under the needy circumstances, their needy circumstances tempted Gehazi to love money and to irritate greediness. But although Gehazi saw the miracles according to God's word to 100 people, 8 with only 20 barley bread and one bag of grain. So but right here, so Gehazi pursued, that is a pursue meaning human effort, not in God's direction. Naaman, when Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is it all well?" And Gehazi said, "All is well. My master has sent me. Elisha has sent me." That's a lie. Saying, "Indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophet." So prophets, students, right here, have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver. So one talent, give 25 pounds of silver and two changes of garments. Only 25 pounds of silver that I asked them. Now, Naaman said, please take two talents, not, you know, one talent, two talents. So, and he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags. So 50 pounds of silver in two bags with two changes of garment and handed them to over his servants. So Naaman's servants should give them. So Naaman, you know, the, asked his servant to deliver, you know, those two bags of silver to Gehazi, and they carried them on Urihad over Gehazi. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hands and stored them away in the house. Then is two talents of silver was stored in Gehazi's house. Then he let the man go. So Gehazi let Naaman's servants go, and they departed. Naaman's servants left. Now he went in and stood before his master Elisha. Elisha said to Gehazi, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And Gehazi said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." So right here, double portion of a lie, big liar now. Then Elisha said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves, vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants?" So Elisha foreknew, already knew, you know, like Elisha had the gift of knowledge, already know what happened. "Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you." So he suffered, you know, sorrowful leprosy, "and your descendants forever." And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow. So why Elisha denied it? So minister's heart always Jesus love. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So money itself is not evil. The love of money is the root of evil. So money is just a tool to serve God for Christians. Also the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died." So our motive, our compelling motive to serve God is the love of Christ, not the love over money. So let's see each question. What was the mind of Israel's king? Israel king's mind? No face of God at all. The mind of king of Assyria? So he has a little, or at the same
face as Israel's young girl's face, because Syrian king delivered the young girl's statement by action to deliver letter and gift. So also number two, what was the mind of Naaman? Naaman first, the same little face as the little Israelite girls, but for a while fainted. He got angry, he accepted his servant's advice. Then he submitted to Elisha, so he recovered the face, but the stronger face. So his the expression of the face, only one God served. Also, he repented his sin, so he sought God's forgiveness or pardon. The last question, what was Gehazi's mind? Gehazi's mind, there is the love of money. We could understand why he had the love of money or greediness, because there are school of profit, famine, so not enough food, But those circumstances contributed to his temptation to love money, to greed. So basically he fell from his previous faith. But he didn't see God's miracle through Elijah to feed up 100 students with a few food. Left some food after all students ate. That kind of miracle, he didn't see that. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer.